And let's go now to a country that has suffered its own conflicts. Earlier this month, two prominent human rights workers were killed in Nairobi, Kenya. They were murdered in the center of the city in the middle of rush hour traffic. The gunmen wore business suits. Police have made no arrests. Some critics of the government say the murders fit a pattern of criminal impunity in Kenya, and they suspect the police may be involved. NPR's Gwen Tompkins reports.
Here's what just about everybody can agree on. On March 5th, Oscar Kingara and John Paul Aulu were in evening rush hour traffic near the student dormitories of the University of Nairobi. It was after 6, but the sun hadn't quite set. Two gunmen, reportedly wearing business suits, emerged from a nearby car that was also in traffic, approached either side of Kingara's Mercedes, and shot both men. Mark Musa is an architecture student. He was sitting in his dorm room when he heard the guns fire.
It was like almost 10 shots renting the air. It was pow, 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 three at a time, a break of 30 seconds, some three more, a break of 30 seconds, and it was scary.
Kingara died on the scene. Aulu lingered for a while in the car, but died at the school's infirmary. The gunman somehow vanished. A daytime killing in downtown Nairobi is not exactly unusual. After all, this is a place where ordinary citizens will beat a purse snatcher to death in the middle of the street. But the double murder appears to many here to have been a curiously bold, premeditated act against two well-known human rights workers at a time when relations between Kenyan police and human rights defenders are at an all-time low. The murders happened in one of the busiest and most heavily patrolled areas of the city, about 500 yards from the president's house. Dominic Wabala is a police reporter for Kenya's largest daily newspaper. He doesn't understand how the getaway car got away.
What is perplexing is the fact that the supposed gunman escaped without being apprehended. It doesn't make logic to me. At around that time, on a working day, which was a working day, it would take you approximately 45 minutes to 1 hour to get through that traffic. It doesn't make sense. For anybody who understands traffic in Nairobi, it would be impossible.
Oscar Kingara led what was called the Oscar Foundation, an organization that gave legal assistance to the indigent in Kenya. Aulu was a student activist and a communications officer at the foundation. Both men had recently cooperated with a United Nations fact-finding effort to explore allegations of illegal police killings in the country. And although the UN's final report is not due until June, the special rapporteur, Philip Alston, has made no secret of his findings so far. Speaking from Nairobi earlier this month, Alston told reporters that death squads exist within the Kenyan police. He also said that these squads are responsible for the disappearances of countless people in recent years. Hassan Omar Hassan heads the Kenyan National Commission on Human Rights. He says the pattern of executions is unmistakable.
As a commission, we've been able to document from families and relatives, friends, independent reports, at least 400 people who've disappeared, many of whom were last seen in police custody. Someone is arrested by police, then the next thing is that he's in a mortuary with bullet wounds. He doesn't need a genius to put one and two together.
Kenyan authorities have strongly denied sanctioning any such units. And if the authorities are telling the truth, then the March 5th murders could not have happened at a more awkward time for them. Because the UN special rapporteur also warned that those Kenyans who cooperated with him are probably in danger from higher-ups who don't want to see an investigation move forward. Eric Karathi is the police spokesman.
There is a lot of misinformation here that even police are responsible for forced disappearances. That one, I can assure you, is pure propaganda.
Karathi has been on the force for 18 years. He says these sorts of investigations follow their own pattern.
When you are faced with a murder like this, there are a lot of motives you must pursue. The question is, first and foremost, is that who could have been interested in the death of these people? Who stood to benefit from their death?
Given those parameters, there is an interesting coincidence in this case. On the night before he died, Oscar Kingara appeared on national television and named a prominent minister of government as a backer of illegal police killings. Most specifically, Kingara was referring to the disappearances of Kenyans suspected of being members of a notoriously violent syndicate here called the Mungiki. Within hours, the government spokesman went on television and accused Oscar Kingara of being in league with the gang. And before sunset, the gunmen were at Kingara's car. But police say they do not consider the minister Kingara named on television as a suspect in the case. Again, spokesman Eric Karade.
Of course, it would be prudent to record a statement from him. Very prudent.
So far, the minister has not been questioned, nor have any police officers been held suspect. Instead, Karade says, investigators are working from the idea that the Mungiki killed the human rights workers in a tussle over a joint money-making venture. But the UN and Kenya's Prime Minister, Raila Odinga, have called for an independent investigation. And U.S. Ambassador Michael Ranenberger has offered the FBI to do the footwork. Ranenberger says there's more than a murder mystery here. He says Kenya must break a culture of impunity in which bad deeds have gone unpunished and wrongdoers live freely and without shame.
In essence, those murders are a perfect reflection of the culture of impunity. I mean, it was outrageous. Two human rights activists who've been at the forefront of pushing the reform agenda and exposing wrongdoing, including death squads and everything else, are murdered in the middle of a trafficked area. That is impunity at the highest level. So, I mean, if you don't start tackling it now, eventually, yes, it will bring Kenya down. It won't bring it down in a year or two, but eventually it will cause Kenya's democracy not to prosper.
Human rights defenders in Kenya say they now feel less safe, and there have apparently been new threats. Before a recent student demonstration in Nairobi calling for the police chief and others to step down, a number of students said they received threatening text messages on their cell phones, and the messages have been difficult to trace. The students say they're holding on to the messages in case something happens. One message says, "Young fellow, if we spot you in the streets, count yourself dead. We have details of you and your friends. Our arm is very long." Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Nairobi.